Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Step Connections Episode 7. My name is Erin Chaffee, and I am here with Mayor Dickinson, who is the mayor for the town of Wallingford. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you.
We will now start with the questions. Let's begin with your background. Where did you grow up?
I grew up first in Pennsylvania, and then I was 6 or 7, and my family moved to Wallingford. And then I have lived in Wallingford ever since.
Where did you receive your education?
Well, I went to Dickinson College after high school and graduated from Dickinson College. Then I went to George Washington Law School and graduated there.
Have you had any previous jobs that led into your current job?
Yes, I worked in a law practice. I worked for an insurance agents association, which is a trade association, and I worked for an insurance company.
Was your family supportive?
Yes. As far as my running for office, mm-hmm. In general, the family was supportive for all of those job changes, but certainly running for public office means the family has to be prepared to deal with a lot of questions and publicity, and you really need them to be willing to say, yes, that's okay, but yes.
When you were younger, what did you want to do?
Well, I considered, I believe at the time, there were three things. One was to be a forest ranger. The second was to be a lawyer. And the third was to be a member of the clergy.
When did you realize you wanted to run for mayor?
Well, I became involved in the local political party, and the occasion arose when they needed a candidate to run for mayor, and I had always been interested in government and making of decisions and how to provide services in a meaningful and good way to the public. And when that opportunity was there, I thought to myself, well, there's no guarantee. You know, you can be in office for a short time and lose an election, so you have to be willing to weigh that. There's not security, but my interest in understanding how government really operates really was very paramount, and I took the chance, and I was elected, and I've run since.
Did you have any major role models growing up?
I can't say that I ever oriented to role models. I was aware of people that I admired, but I never patterned myself after another person. I can't say that was the case.
We would now like to talk about your career. What aspects of your job do you enjoy the most?
Well, I think an occasion like this is what I can enjoy the most, because it is it's interesting meeting you and hearing what your interests are. It's not the pressures of the office that involves making, at times, difficult decisions. How much money can be spent on something, saying no to many things. Many people have great ideas, but it in the long term isn't sustainable. You know, you really can't keep doing that, or it could be harmful to someone else. So you have to be willing to say no. None of that is fun, but when you can get out, meet people, and hear what their interests are and get a look into their lives and their values, that's good.
Do you have any fears entering your career?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mentioned the worry about there's no security. When you deal with elections, as with anything that involves a measure of popularity, popularity is very whimsical. You can be popular at one point, and then due to a storm happening, there's no control over it, but you get blamed for what the storm does, and people are upset. So, yes, that's always a worry, that there's not a guarantee. But then I'm also conscious of there's no guarantee in anything in life. So you have to keep that in mind.
Why do you believe you became successful in your job?
Well, first, I would not call myself successful. I mean, that's ultimately kind of like a a report card every other year when the election comes around, whether you get reelected or not. I feel we've been consistent and we've been dutiful and we've been very interested in following the rules and in really setting a good example for everyone in the community. So whether it's successful or not, for me, the measure is, have I lived up to the values that I have, and have I participated in government in a way that is good? It's a good, solid example. There are good services provided to the public. So I measure it by my own values. Success sometimes is measured by what other people think, and I'm not going to try to guess that.
What do you think has been your biggest accomplishment as the mayor?
Well, I think the most important job of the mayor, along with other aspects of government, but most important job administratively, is providing a budget every year and telling taxpayers, you have to pay these taxes, and then the budget describes how the money will be spent. So I think over the years, I think we have been very consistent. We've been able to afford good services. We've invested in new facilities and accomplished things that, if you're not careful, you end up with deficits. And once you run deficits in a budget year, the next year becomes twice as hard. And the next year after that, you no longer have a continuity. So it's very important to plan for more than 1 year at a time. So we try to look at anywhere from 1 to 5 years out and what the future kind of looks like. And no one has a crystal ball, but you make the best estimate, the best judgment possible. So in terms of that consistency, I think that's been very important for the community. The other thing is our purchase of open space. We purchased a fair amount of acreage, especially on the east side, a lot of acreage that was once the Cook Farm. And the goal is to provide a community that has that rural appearance so that people can enjoy a downtown, they can enjoy a subdivision where most of the houses are, but they can also enjoy and reflect and understand the importance of the rural areas that once were all farmland and now gradually built up. So we purchase open space to try to preserve that heritage.
What is the biggest challenge you had to overcome?
Well, I think the biggest challenge at times is the vagaries of the economy, the uncertainties of what the state is doing. The state of Connecticut is in serious financial disarray, and that translates into what communities can depend upon in the way of money from the state. If the state doesn't give us the money, then we have to increase local taxes. And most people don't really want to pay taxes. They don't want to do without the services, but they really don't enjoy paying taxes. So that I think is always a big dilemma in planning and in executing what's necessary.
If you could have a different career than the one you have now, what would it be?
That's a good question. I'd like to be doing something with nature. I mentioned the forest ranger aspect. I really enjoy dealing with wildlife. I have these chipmunks I feed, and it's such a pleasure. You walk out, and they get to know you, so they start headed toward me. Here's the guy with food. I mean, I don't think I'm just popular, but here's the guy with food. But it's kind of interesting to see. And then the birds notice this, and the birds, oh, well, this is interesting. And they start hanging around. So you develop this whole trust of wild species and a human that is precious. I wouldn't want to ever, suddenly act wild and endanger one of them, because that's unfair. You know, I've led them to believe that they can trust me. So I've always been interested in wildlife. So hopefully it would have something to do with that.
What do you think it takes to be successful today?
What does it take to be successful? Well, you know, it depends upon how you define success. There's a story about a salesman who called home, and his wife said, "Oh, honey, how'd the day go?" He said, "I got two orders." She said, "Fantastic." He said, "Well, not so much. One was get out, and the other was don't come back." How do you define orders? So, success is like that. How do you define success? If success is defined by what others think of you or how you are in comparison with others, that's one measure of success. If success is, are you living up to your moral compass? Are you living up to standards that you would want someone else to live up to? That's a different standard. I tend to think that second one is the more important. So the definition of success, to me, having money is nice to have, but that doesn't necessarily mean success. If I have a lot of money and I'm doing a lot of things that hurt other people, is that really success? And think about this. If I go rob a bank and I give all of the money I take to poor people, was I successful? See, there's a little standard that creeps in, and it's called, does the end justify the means? So if my goal is all about me, and I forget how it affects other people, that means my goal, I'm using my goal to justify mistreating other people or their property. That, I think, is very troublesome. That is not good for society. I don't think the end ever justifies the means to attain. So if you want to attain a certain level of employment with money and you do things that hurt or cheat or lie about others in order to achieve that, what have you really achieved? Can you really look in the mirror and say, "I like you"? Would you trust yourself at that point? Because you've got to always worry that someone's going to treat you the same way. So success is very much, you know, the definition is critical and what values we use to define it. There's another story. A father told his son, there are two things that ensure success. One is integrity. Son said, "Integrity?" He said, "Yes. If you give your word, always keep your word." Okay. The second is wisdom. Listen, wisdom? The father said, "Yes. Don't be stupid and ever give your word." What are we talking about here? Those two things should work together, wisdom and integrity. But we shape that to say, "Oh, well, you don't want to have to keep your word, so never give you a word." What kind of a life is that? I mean, you can have all the physical possessions, the clothing, the adoration that you can think of, and can you really look at yourself and say, "I've done what I should"? Because what you're saying is other people can treat you that way. Would you like to be treated that way? So success, I believe, is living up to your values and accomplishing things that are in harmony with your values and hopefully helping all those around you at all times. Because you can't really be successful if you don't really have honest friends with you. And whether it's family or the people around you, you've got to treat them well. And not just treat them well because you want them to treat you well, but treat them well because you honestly care about them. If you don't care about other people, how can you ever be really successful? It's just, you know, sometimes I think we've gone too far in the selfie world. As long as I'm in the picture, it's good, right? It used to be getting a picture of a celebrity was fantastic. Look, look who I saw. Now, the person taking the picture has to be in the picture. That's really not about the celebrity. That's about me. Look who I know. Wait a minute. There's something, something is too much about the self there. You got to be caring about other people. Listening to them. And sometimes you disagree with them, and sometimes you agree, but you work out those things. So success is a, to me, when you start talking about success, you're immediately in philosophy and values. Immediately. If you boil off all the physical things, it's about values and how you live your life. I hate to sound like I'm preaching. You asked the question.
Are there any more questions for Mayor Dickinson?
Well, I like to read, and I like to play tennis. So I spend time going out running just so I can be in shape to move on a tennis court. Because if you don't move your feet, tennis is a very difficult sport to play. So you have to constantly be willing to practice and stay in shape. But I like tennis and reading and, you know, obviously feeding the animals outside.
I have a question. You said you like reading. What's your favorite book?
Well, there are several, really. I always liked the book Siddhartha. If you've never read that in school, it's about philosophy, but it's a story of a young man, Siddhartha, and his growth in understanding the realities. And it's very much Eastern religions, but it's very insightful. I always liked Kenneth Roberts' historical novels, Northwest Passage and Rabble in Arms, and he wrote quite a few of those books. I like poetry as well. One of my favorite poems, and the title is On Seeing Weather-Beaten Trees. That's the title. Is it as clear in our living shown by slant and twist which way the wind hath blown? So that tree is shaped by the wind. It can't stand up to certain things, and it gets all twisted around. Well, that's what happens with us. Our lives can get twisted around if we're not careful about the values we use and we live. But I love that poem. It just says it so clearly in great imagery.
I have a question. So you brought an instrument with you today. Do you also like playing in your free time?
I do, yes. Yeah, I think music is a great way of expression and meditation, expresses meaning. Yeah, so I kind of taught myself the guitar, and I play the trumpet a little bit, but if any of you play instruments, you know you have to regularly practice. People don't realize that. If you do something, it's because you've spent hours practicing. And especially true with a wind instrument like the trumpet. You know, it can take, if you haven't regularly played, it'll take a week of at least an hour a day just to do something for 3 minutes. A lot of people don't understand that. But it's a sizable, and that's your commitment of your time. How many of you play instruments? What instrument?
Keyboard,
yeah. Oh, that's you can be your own orchestra.
And saxophone.
Oh, there's a mood.
I'm a percussionist. I play the drums.
Oh, drums. Oh, every band needs a drummer. Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
I have a question. What advice would you give to these eighth graders as they transition over to high school? And to our listeners who are middle schoolers or transitioning into high school, what advice would you give to them as they move on?
Well, there is no piece of knowledge that is unimportant. whatever subject you deal with and you really don't like it much, sooner or later in your life, you will wish that you had really spent a little more time understanding that. The older you get, the less time there is just to be learning, because so many other things are competing for your interest. Now, you have things competing with your interest now, but never forget, learning is absolutely critical to anything you want to do. That you've got to program the best computer in the world, which is your brain. Absolutely an incredible computer. We're sitting here talking, and at the same time, we're conscious of the air temperature. We're conscious of whether we're hungry or not. We're thinking maybe about what we're doing in the next period or at the end of the day. All of those things are going on at the same time, yet we can still continue to talk and stay on a subject. Incredible! That is the most precious thing we have other than time. And programming that with information puts you light years ahead of anyone who has not spent that time. So every piece of information is important. So you have this, the end of this year, and another 4 years to just be a sponge. Absorb everything you can. And if you don't understand something, ask someone, the teacher, whoever. Never hesitate to ask a question. I wish I had done that when I was younger. I was always shy and unwilling to, I should have. Hey, wait a minute, I don't understand this. I want to understand it. Absolutely critical. The biggest mistake I made was I stopped playing the piano. If I could change one thing in my life, it would be that I didn't go out and play ball. I kept practicing the piano. I can't make up for that now, because now there's too many things competing. And, you know, I play the guitar or the trumpet. Well, I don't have time for the piano. That would have been a base for just about any other instrument. And like I said, the piano is an orchestra. You're playing up to 10 notes at a time. You can't do that with almost any other instrument. The guitar maybe comes close, but incredible. So, you got an incredible future ahead of you. All you have to do is see the potential, not only with the information there, but your potential. Oh, your brains are just outstanding. Feed them.
Are there any more questions? Thank you, Mayor Dickinson, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to speak with us today, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in.